Hello, and welcome to Ask the Experts Live, where you can get all of your technical questions answered live by an expert. That's him. We're supposed to have another expert, Greg, but Greg got chased away by Clay. Clay has, like, you know, scared him off somehow. We don't know how, but right now we have Ask the Expert.
Expert. Hopefully we get a second. Oh, speak of the devil.
Oh, look,
we
have a second expert.
There he is.
Look at that. Okay, Greg Lindstrom and Clay are both here. All right, so first, why don't you two introduce yourselves and tell us what we're going to be talking about today. Greg, do you want to go first since you're the latest crusher?
I'd be happy to. My name is Greg Lindhorst. I'm a PM on the Power Apps team, the responsible for driving the PowerFX language forward. I've been working on Power Apps for 5-6 years now and have a long history with Office and Visual Studio before that.
Fantastic. So you've been with Power Apps since... legitimately day zero, before day zero.
Yeah, before we went GA, yeah,
for a while. Amazing, so that's fantastic because you actually know where all of the horrible bodies are buried. So everyone
I do, and where all the skeletons are, all of them.
Love it, it's so good. And Clay, tell us about you.
Hi everyone, my name's Clay Wesner. I lead the Power Apps Studio. So basically that's anything Maker related that you would use to build a Canvas app, model-driven app, creating entities, AI builder, basically anything a maker would do, including PowerFX.
I love it. So PowerFX is the new hotness. It was a big announcement at Microsoft Ignite a few weeks ago. Was it last week? I don't even know. But everyone was up in a buzz about it. Like, oh, the cool little language and the little box in Excel, we can use it in other places. That's amazing. So tell us just a quick recap. What can we do with it now? Because I know you have huge, ambitious goals, humongous goals. But right now, today, when people, you know, hang up this chat, what can they go and do?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing to kind of remember is, well, obviously, we did make a big announcement and we talked about we're expanding it to be the unified logic language for all of the Power Platform and open source and all these great announcements. One of the things we tried to reiterate and remind people as well is that PowerFX is now the name of the language that is already used in Power Apps today. So if you're already familiar with building Power Apps, awesome, you are a PowerFX expert straight off the bat the day we announced it, basically. And so really the announcement and our plans is more about how we expand it, you know what I mean, and how we make it more consistent across the platform. But today, someone can go to powerapps.com, start creating an app, and they will be using PowerFX.
So you mentioned some very, very exciting words in here. So we are open sourcing it. It's going to be free, et cetera. So this is enterprise software. Enterprise software is, you know, not usually open source, nor is it free. So can you tell us about why did you choose to open source this thing that's been around for, you know, 35 years now? And what was the process like to even go through the process of going through the process, and what this means for the language?
Greg, do you want to take that one?
Sure. So the language, all programming languages, all the major ones are all open sourced. It used to be a day where they might've been proprietary, but Python, C#, TypeScript, JavaScript, they're all open source at this point. And that's really needed. You really need that involvement from a very large group of people that are invested and passionate about the language to bring ideas and issues and insights and improvements themselves to what the language is. And that's what we're trying to tap into. The broader the language goes, the more products that use it throughout the industry, the more leverage we get from people learning it in one place and being able to apply it in another place, which is exactly the kind of leverage we're trying to get across the Power Platform. So it's good all around for it to be open source. And since we made the announcement, people have been jumping on the GitHub repo that we have to even talk about just the docs, even give us issues and insights and ideas for what the docs should do, because the only part we've currently released, the engagement's been amazing. And we're super excited to build on that and have everybody so interested in applying this to their particular solution space.
I love that. By the way, hopefully everyone saw the URL for the GitHub repo here. Okay. Hopefully you're seeing it. github.com/Microsoft/power-FX. Go in there and have a look. Go see what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, we're an Ask the Experts, and this is confessed stuff you don't want your boss knowing you're telling us. When is this open source thing going to be available outside of just the box?
Clay?
So we actually, the first step of open sourcing happened at Ignite. So that repo that you can go to now is that first step. So the definition of the language itself, which today is mainly in document form, is open sourced and is available right there. What that's going to evolve into is then us releasing actual packages that people from a development perspective can consume in their own app or their own platform to really use it. So like the way we compile the code, the way we have the runtime supporting the code, that we haven't released yet and is sort of on our plans for this year. But the first step of actually, it sounds weird, but the language itself being open sourced, that went out at Ignite and is available at the URL below.
Love that. That is super cool. So everyone's going to want to know, now that it's a language of its own, what will the logistics of the language look like? What is the runtime, the design time, all of the things that go with being like a grown-up programming language versus like some scripting thing that one does in this box?
So we don't know quite, honestly, yet. We are working through our own products, Power Virtual Agents, Dataverse, and model-driven apps right now, extracting PowerFX from Canvas apps and making it available for integration to those products. Doing those three will give us a tremendous amount of insight into how what the packages should look like, how they should intertwine with each other, what the requirements are, what runtime environments should it be based on. Today, Canvas is based on HTML and JavaScript at runtime and a C# compiler. Is that the right mix for everybody long term? We don't know yet, and so we're experimenting ourselves. We're also talking to partners about what their needs might be, how they would apply it, and what makes sense there. Now, some stuff we have already started to do is we made available an ALM tool at the beginning of January that allows people to take an MS App file and extract it into YAML files to both edit in VS Code and to use with GitHub. That direction, we'll continue with that. That'll be the kind of the source format for PowerFX. And so that progress is being made, but it's going to take us some time to figure all that out. And we'll have more to say about all this as we make progress. We want to be as open as we can about our progress. Build will be our next major show. And so we'll have a bunch to say there, hopefully some great demos of how we've made this movement. And people can start learning more about that.
I love that. I will definitely be hassling you at Build to tell us more about it, because there's the audience right there, right? Build audience is like, what? A new programming language? Tell us more. Where's the sample? Where's your sample code? Where's this? Where's that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned, Greg, an ALM thing that you released in January, a new ALM component. Can you tell us where people can get that? Or do you just go to the admin center and start mucking around?
No, it's an experimental feature.
Okay, so you turn it on.
It's open sourced as well.
Okay.
And so there's a GitHub repo to go get it and to file issues and ideas, and people are engaged there too, which is wonderful.
Cool.
We're going to take that and incorporate it directly into the Power Apps CLI tool, our command line tool. And so people can get it in that manner shortly, in the next couple of weeks, we hope. But in the meantime, they can go up to that repo, pull it down, build it themselves, and use it today.
Oh, that's fantastic. So is it in the same repo or is it in a different one?
It's in a different repo. It's in its own Power, because it is somewhat specific to Power Apps. It's about extracting from Power Apps and making PowerFX available that way. The PowerFX repo would just be about that language, about that separate from any particular Power Apps or Power Platform product.
So while you were talking, you mentioned that you're going to do some experiments with Power Virtual Agents, of course, you know, bot language, as well as Dataverse. And that is fantastic. I know a bunch of Power BI people are going to have questions. How does this affect Power BI, if at all?
Yeah. So in the short term, no impact. And that's really because we are looking at PowerFX as very much a logic language.
Yes.
And things like M and DAX that are heavily used in Power BI are really around that data manipulation, ETL, which is not really what PowerFX is focused on. There are definitely some scenarios that have already come out in conversations with Power BI and even from customers about, well, what if I did want to do a bit of logic in a report or something like that? So it's by no means to say that it won't, you know what I mean, sort of come in the future. But, you know, like with PVA, with Dataverse, with Power Automate, we've been a lot more bullish to say they have currently their own logic language.
Yes.
Want to move them to PowerFX so it's consistent. Power BI has MN DAX, which is very bespoke to working with data. So, you know, we said this at Ignite as well. The Power BI, you know, I mean, experienced folks should not be worried that we're going to try and tear all that out. And, you know what I mean? Move along with PowerFX, because MN DAX are focused very differently at this point.
I love it. Okay. By the way, I found your repo for ALM.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, what's up? Yeah.
Nice job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You thought we couldn't find it. We can find it. Yeah. Everyone take note. People are already participating. So go in there, have a look, read up. My favorite way to learn about open source stuff is just go read the documentation, understand, install the thing, muck with it, make changes to documentation, and then really see what we can build with it. So definitely check it out. Check it out.
And this tooling, sorry, Donna, I didn't mean to interrupt. Like this tooling as well is one of the cool things about it is, you know, I mean, Canvas apps particularly to date have been this kind of, you know, I mean, sealed container with a visual designer.
Yes.
And like one of the most amazing things about this tooling, even though it's an open source project at the moment and sort of experimental, is that it exposes this full YAML format, human readable of the entire Canvas app. You get, you know what I mean, versioning in GitHub with commits. It really elevates that sort of like, brings a more of a pro dev mind set to working with Canvas apps, and you can work with them in more traditional sort of dev ways. So honestly, it's a game changer. Someone even on Twitter went back and found that original announcement, and they were like, this was the first bit of PowerFX coming through. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, I mean, it's a really big step. So we're going to continue to innovate and grow on it. But anyone that sort of, you know, likes source code, version control, VS Code, those types of things, it's definitely worth checking out.
I love that. So there is another category of people who are ardent automation fans, our Power Automate folks. And there, of course, everyone is asking, when does it come to Power Automate? And how? Do we have any info or insight on that?
So we haven't locked a timeline for it yet, just being completely transparent. But mainly because obviously it has a very established language that it uses today. And just like when we do with anything else, anything in production, we don't want to come in and just disrupt people sort of by yanking it out. So it is part of our public roadmap. We announced it at Ignite that PowerFX will come to both cloud and desktop flows. So it will go everywhere in Power Automate. But we did call that out as a bit of our roadmap. And so really the conversations that we're kicking off now is what's the right staged way to do that? How do we do conversion? How do we do side by side of the existing language and PowerFX? And really do it in the right way that, you know what I mean, the makers can continue to use it. We're not breaking anyone. So definitely part of the plan. We just want to be cautious about it and do it in the right way.
I love it. So is there a docs page that people can read up on, or a blog post or something like that? I know there's a blog post. Let's see if we can find it. It was like the big announcement. So that, there you go. So the low code language blog post, it was like Ryan Cunningham's blog post. And like, what is FX? Why are we doing this? Et cetera, et cetera. So would you recommend to people that they start with getting like the big picture with the blog post and then diving to docs, then to the GitHub? Or...
Yeah, I think that ought to make sense. And that, so this blog post here, as you said, Ryan, it very much talks about the high-level framing of PowerFX. Greg then also has a technical blog, which is linked to this one as well. And Greg, it might be good telling people a little bit about what's in that, but that double-clicks a little bit for us.
Right, you guys might be able to bring the banner up for that one as well. Ryan's does a great job of framing the strategic direction we're taking, why we're doing the open source, how it's going to roll out in different products. I followed it up with what a blog post on just what is PowerFX? How is this thing special relative to other programming languages? How does it add to the conversation? And it goes into our leverage of Excel concepts, and the ability to leverage Excel knowledge is a key ingredient to what we're trying to accomplish. People shouldn't have to learn about some new programming language, some new concepts, if we can leverage the same ones they already know. There are hundreds of millions of Excel people that write formulas every day. It's so much easier to tap into that existing knowledge than to teach them something new. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. But we go beyond that. We take Excel concepts, apply them to logic of objects and data and write back of things. Excel never doesn't have buttons directly on the surface. You can't write a formula that says when a button clicks in Excel, go do some things. But PowerFX does. It adds imperative logic to the pure data flow world that Excel currently enjoys. And the pure declarative data flow is wonderful, but it can't do everything an app can do. And that's where we needed to expand and extend it. But that's where we judiciously try to add just the smallest number of concepts we can to something that people already know so that they can get started easily and they don't have to learn anything super new and big and bold. They can incrementally get there. And so the blog post goes into those things that we've added in there as well. It also touches on how to low code versus pro code. Low code, when we say that, there's a lot of things that we do on your behalf, like asynchronous calls, dealing with concurrency, dealing with being strongly typed. There's no dynamic typing in the language by intentionally. So there's a lot of elements that we've really carefully thought about. If we want to keep this a low code language that anyone should be able to use, what do we need to do to keep it simple and easy? And there's some examples of there of one liners that if you expand out the JavaScript equivalent, it's 20 lines. It's a lot of code and a lot of complexity that we can avoid. And not just low code people coming from Excel appreciate, but pro code people do too, because it's faster and more efficient and they save time and energy and money by using a language which does a lot of that heavy lifting for them. They may lose a little bit of control, but typically for these kinds of apps, that's not the end of the world. They don't need that fine grain of control. And we have ways around that as well, islands of professional code that PowerFX can connect together in the form of PCF controls and C-sharp plugins in the case of Dataverse. So it tries to paint that picture of here's low code, why it exists, how we try to leverage Excel, and how it connects all the pieces together.
I love that. And I like that you've got this principle of deliberately being very inclusive to all kinds of developers. You're saying like, whether you're a low code developer, medium code developer, high code developer, this language works really well for you. Just because we do have this language and we are open sourcing it and we are using it in so many places, it doesn't mean that we're going to complicate it. And you know, one thing that really resonated, someone tweeted, I think the day of Ignite, they're like, this is the most used programming language in the world.
Yes, and it is.
I thought that was so interesting. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, we unfortunately don't talk about the numbers publicly, but like the daily number of people that use this language in Excel and Power Apps combined is just mind blowing. And that's what's driven a lot of that to like Greg's point is like, even if you're a full on coder writing code every day, if we can make you more productive and faster and, you know what I mean? And take 7 lines of code and make them 1 line of PowerFX, there's benefit of that to every single class. But then like, same thing, you go to a citizen developer who's never built an app before, if they can copy and paste and reuse something that they know how to write in Excel, again, we've just reduced that learning curve ago. And that's really a lot of the principles around PowerFX is, yes, we want that spectrum of developers, but we want to make sure at the, you know what I mean, at the entry level of that spectrum as well, we've made it as easy as possible. And that's the benefit we get of aligning to the Excel language as much as possible.
I think that is such a important statement because there are devs like me, I'm a C++ dev, and my entire thing is to complicate things as much as possible. If the library exists, you should not use it because you need to make your own library. Who are you even if you don't write your own libraries? And I did this for 20 years. I'm not even lying, right? Windows, the operating system, is very complex. And someone who becomes a Windows dev, it will take you like, I would say about 3 years to learn to be a proper Windows dev, like to build an app for Windows properly, like Win32 or even like a modern Windows app. It'll take you about 3 years because we love to complicate things and we love to change your rules and we love to, you know, deal with random back compatibility issues. And it's almost like a badge of honor that it's hard.
You've got your scars.
Yeah. We're like, you know, I am bruised from 16 years of Windows dev. So I'm so inspired that you too are talking about how can we make this simple for any dev, whether, you know, you can be a Windows dev like me, and instead of taking you 3 years to be good at PowerFX, I can be good in like an hour by reducing those 800,000 lines to like 50, right? And no longer in the little box either, but in a proper IDE that I would be excited to use.
Yeah, and exactly. And that was the big one, especially with the language tooling stuff that came out right. this year, is that like a lot of that, the friction on that other end of the scale yeah. was they're like, I want to be in VS Code or right. GitHub.
Yes.
I don't want to be in a purely no. visual designer. And no. and that tooling has really helped us go, fine, it can still be a power app and it can be right. exist in both places. You work where you're most comfortable.
Right. And I really like the idea that when you're able to work in the IDE that you're most comfortable with, there's just things you know, right? You're not like, okay, I got my IntelliSense. I've got like my tabs and space drama figured out. I've got my dark mode. Like I've got all my modes and I can actually co-author and collaborate, right, on this language. So I'm already thinking like, this is the way I can do my weird Power Apps hack where I can co-author with somebody using like VS Code live share. And we can collaborate on the script that we can use in a Power App or maybe, you know, in a Power Automator or whatever. So
that's exactly right. Yeah. GitHub is all about collaboration. That's why you use GitHub is right. to check in and check out and do pull requests and have people review code and do commenting. And development is a team sport, even in the low code space. It's very much a team sport. And by moving to GitHub, using tools that each person understands and knows, it really opens up that world in a way that we haven't experienced before. So it's super exciting to us.
Yeah. I love it. And Donna, we've actually already seen customers start adopting it the way you just described, where yeah. they are collaborating and co-authoring on a single Power App and using Ooh. GitHub pull requests yeah. and things like that and merging back. Because we've kept the YAML format clean, it supports mm-hmm. merging, all that type of nice stuff. So while it's still an experimental feature, we only shipped, 2 months ago? Or you know what I mean? Some of the things that we've already started seeing makers and our customers do is pretty impressive. But yeah, the collaboration one is definitely one of the first things that popped.
That is so cool because I know collaboration in Power Apps has been like one of the number one asks from our customers forever. Everywhere I go, everywhere I speak, they're like, can we collaborate and co-op yet? I'm like, kind of.
We're still working on that. Like,
yes, but like actual co-op, but collaborating on, yes. especially like I am a dev who likes to maybe go create a web API with .NET, then stash that in Azure APIM, and then someone else build a Power App, please. Someone who knows how to build a Power App that doesn't look hideous. Then you can actually collaborate in GitHub. Right. And yep. you can actually collaborate using your ALM tool.
And yeah, Power App. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So there's a question for Greg from the audience. And the question is, if someone is just getting started with the Power Platform, would you suggest to learn PowerFX right away? Or are there some prerequisites?
I would say go learn Canvas apps in that they'll go there first. There's a tremendous number of videos and documentation and samples and all this stuff to bring you into this concept of using Excel to build applications, build logic. Today, that would be definitely the place to start. PowerFX is going to follow that very closely, especially in this first release. And you know, in 6 months, I might have a different answer. I would hope, but in that time, we would have some kind of website where you could just go do a hello world in PowerFX and see an immediate result, the kind of very basic sandboxes that you see from lots of other languages. But we're not there yet. And so for now, Canvas apps is definitely the place to go experience and learn this today. Almost all those concepts will transfer over to PowerFX when we get there.
And I will double vouch for Greg here because I never built a Canvas app in my life until I joined this team. And first thing I did, someone's like, go build a Canvas app. I'm like, what is that? And it took me maybe like 7 minutes to build one, honestly. And I was stunned because I'm not an app dev. I used this tutorial called Power Up. It's just a learn module. And all it does is seriously have you download a data source from Excel and then generate a Canvas app and then you muck with it. You like change this, change that. And it gets you used to the formula bar and how you use it. And you realize, oh, this is actually incredibly intuitive. And this is not how you should start every time. It just gives you an idea of the studio, the Power App Studio and all the pieces and the components and stuff. Then you learn about data sources. Like it can be SharePoint, it can be Dataverse, it can be SQL, whatever you want it to be. So there, I highly recommend if you don't have any idea what Power Apps are, start with building a Canvas app. And again, there's hundreds of tutorials out there on how to make them beautiful and functional and do cool stuff. And that formula bar, the little bar that says FX, will be the place where you do all of this magic and learn this language that you're soon going to be able to use lots of places.
Yeah, and the other ones as well, as, and I'm pretty sure this gets covered in those tutorials as well, but like when you come in the first time, there's R samples and templates that you can jump into straight away. Right. And the nice part about that is you jump straight into a working app that you can sort of spelunker around and click on things and see the PowerFX formula that was written to build. So some people like that reverse engineering sort of aspect as well, of like, show me the finished product and then sort of show me how you built it as well.
I like that. And there's like a zillion examples. We have this thing called a community gallery. If you go there, you can find like hundreds and hundreds of examples that people have done, and you can just download them and just start modifying them. They're all there for us to learn. That's how I learn best, is looking at other people's work and being inspired by them. So one thing you both brought up that I was really inspired by is development as a team sport. And of course, we know like dev is a team sport, you need all kinds of people, but explicitly, we've been talking about this concept called fusion dev teams. And my advocacy team is a fusion dev team. We've got high code devs who work in .NET, and we've got low code devs who are like, I came from financial services or marketing background. I've never been a dev in my life. What is happening, right? So, but these people can come together to solve business problems. And are you seeing an uptick in that with our customers?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we flash back, so I didn't join as early PowerApps as early as Greg did. I've been on like 4 or 5 years or something like that. But the shift of what we see now, and it's gone from one person building an app for a scenario. You know what I mean? And over the last 4 years, that's grown into these complex scenarios where now yes, we still get people building simple forms and apps, but you also get organizations building very complex solutions that are large app teams with a dev team of 30 people working on it across Power Apps, Power Automate, PVA. That's why with PowerFX, we're like, how can we make sure all those people are literally speaking the same language and able to work together and transfer skills? And then the other area for us that, we're working on internally at the moment is then how do we then make it easier for all of those people to work on the same solution and the same app at the same time? And so they're really closely connected, of us just going, we want people, we see these larger scale projects where customers come in and go, yeah, we've got 20 people working on it and they're building flows and bots and apps and they're working in Azure APIM. Like, they are absolutely all over the place. So us focusing on how we make that collaboration seamless is going to be really important for us moving forward as well.
I love just that Clay just feature requested Greg right there. Like, make this happen. Do it. Do it now. This is like a voluntelling, like master ninja move that just took place.
It's all about the vision. It's just about getting there for us.
All right. So we have a question from Emmanuel. Thank you, Emmanuel. And the question is this going to replace VBA when writing macros in Excel?
No, it will not. Although so a couple answers to that question. The Office Scripts team is busy making JavaScript and Python available as a language to automate inside of Excel. And that's very exciting stuff they're doing. We have talked to them, and I think we'll continue to talk to them. It's not high on our priority list, but it makes a lot of sense if you're in Excel to use PowerFX as the language for doing that as well, given that it's so Excel based. So maybe down the road, we'll see that happen. But for the moment, those, and they won't talk about them as a replacement for VBA, because VBA stands alone. It's going to continue on as it is. But there's a fair number of the scenarios you used to do with VBA that you can now accomplish with Office Scripts. So there's investment, not exactly sure exactly how it's going to land out, but we're definitely moving in that area.
We've been hearing a lot about Office Scripts lately. They're another great low-code tool. So if you haven't checked it out, go check out Office Scripts. We've been working closely with the team to figure out how we can collab. All right, Greg and Clay, thank you so much for crashing us and hanging out with us. And dear audience, thank you so much for joining us today. Please do check out the links below to watch this and more episodes on demand and find out what episodes are coming up soon. If you'd like us to do Ask the Experts episodes, shoot me a tweet, shoot any of them a tweet, and we will try to get that on the books for you. Thank you so much for being here, and we will see all of you next time.
Thank you, everybody.